Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll get to Georgia State head football coach Sean Elliott in just a moment. But first of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
In the air to left field. Ozuna going back. He's going to be a spectator. It is gone! He did it again! A two-run home run is 17th of the year. It's 5-1 Phillies on top. Nobody in baseball has ever done what Reese Hoskins is doing. It's incredible here in 2017.
It is indeed. Tommy McCarthy with the call on the Phillies television network last night. Reese Hoskins with his 17th home run in 33 games. And as you said, you got a text last night and said, quote, there is hope. Well, every time he swings the bat, the hope grows greater in Philadelphia. Same thing with Nick Williams, who looks like he is a player as well on this level. Now, once the league adjusts to him, it will be critical for him to adjust back. But I've got a feeling he's the kind of player that will be able to. You don't rise through the ranks unless you have that ability.
And we were kicking around Aaron Nola last on the show yesterday as well. What a great performance he had last night as well. Double-digit strikeouts, I think.
Well, you know how high I am on Aaron Nola. I just think he's really – he's the kind of guy that you can build a staff around. And then next year we'll see what they want to do with Kingery. I mean, at some point, he's got to be with the Phillies next year. Is he with the Phillies out of the gate in strength training, or do they wait a little bit and then bring him up? But there's another guy that has great potential as well. Potential he has to realize on the major league level, but still great potential. All right, Sean Elliott is the head football coach at Georgia State. Comes over from South Carolina. His second game as the head coach of Georgia State will be in Beaver Stadium Saturday night when the Nittany Lions take on his team. And, Coach, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show. And when you took this job at Georgia State, what were some of the immediate items on the checklist for you?
Well, first of all, you're in the heart of Atlanta. And, you know, the state of Georgia has some of the best football talent in the country. And you just needed to really throw everything into your recruiting efforts. And that's something we had to do right away. You know, I was hired, I think, December 12th. And, you know, with the dead periods and everything, we only had about 14 days to go out and put together a class. And, you know, with having the short amount of time but having the fertile recruiting grounds, we were able to go out and sign a pretty good class. And that's something you got to do here. You've got to establish your name and your footprint, and you got to go out and attack it in recruiting.
And part of attacking and recruiting is you have to be able to sell so much about what you have. When the Braves moved up to Cobb County, Turner Field was vacant. Georgia State bought it. That's your facility. What do you think going forward that's going to mean to have a facility of that quality?
Well, let me tell you, it's one of the best in the country. And our administration, our president, Dr. Becker, Charlie Cobb, and the vision they had for the old Turner Field and now Georgia State Stadium is tremendous. It's going to help our football program. You know, recruiting is, everyone loves bright, shiny new things. And we have one of the best facilities in the country. I don't care where you go. You know, I was fortunate enough to come from the University of South Carolina, and our facilities rank right up there. So when you bring in these recruits, you get to show them these things, what they're going to be in, where they're going to live, where they're going to work, you know, spend most of the time, and it's at the top of the list. It's a great facility.
Your quarterbacks, Connor Manning, the transfer out of Utah, and then, of course, you played Aaron Winchester as well in the opener against Tennessee State. What do you like about both those quarterbacks, Coach?
Well, I think Connor's a cool, calm guy. He's very, very intelligent. He knows where to deliver the football in a timely manner. He's not going to take a bunch of sacks. And, you know, he has the ability to get us in the right situation. He certainly does. And then you got Winchester. Winchester's more of a leg guy. He can beat you with his legs a little bit. He's got great straight line speed. So, you know, he has the ability to break the pocket and do some things, put a little bit more pressure on a defense when he's in there.
When I looked at the tape, I noticed right away, you got some wide receivers that can play. What are some things and elements that they bring to the table that any coach would like?
Well, I think you take a guy like Penny Hart that we have, and he's a true competitor, great wide receiver. He loves to play the game. He hates losing. He's the hardest worker. When your best player is the hardest worker on your football team, and that says a lot. And that's what a guy like Penny Hart brings to our football team. We've got to have the ability to get him the ball more. We certainly do. I believe he touched it 5 times the other night. In our opening contest, and you know he probably needs to touch it 25 times. So there's a couple other guys, but Penny kind of leads the way in that group.
What is it about a 3-4 defense that you like?
I think the ability, it's more of a run-stopping defense. I mean, it has the ability to play in a pass coverage as well. I think when it's set with the proper personnel, it's one of the, I think, harder ones to go out and attack. You can play both in the run so well with it, and it's a situation you certainly got to have to recruit to what you want to play defensively. And once you have your personnel with it, I think it's one of the best schemes in the country.
You mentioned recruiting too, and you mentioned recruiting a few times. Getting skill players, and you talked about how fertile your recruiting area happens to be, but what about the interior line? Is that a little more difficult to recruit at a Sun Belt level?
Well, I think you just got to go and you got to know what you're going to get. I mean, you've got to go target it. I mean, we're not going to go out and get 6'6" guy that's very, very mobile, has long arms. But, you know, those guys are few and far between, even at the highest level. When I say the highest level, you know, man, SEC, the Big Ten, wherever you play, we've got to go out and what we've got to find for interior guys, whether it be offensively or defensively, is those guys that play with a lot of heart and passion. They may not be the 6'5", 6'6". And maybe the more 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", guys, but they play with great effort. Sometimes a lot's lost on the linemen these days, and they forget about what these guys have to be. These guys have to be true competitors. They've got to go out and play down after down after down and give it their very, very best. They're the fighters of the team, and I think we can go out and find those guys. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to search few and far between. And I think we can do that. I think there's a lot of good linemen out there in this country that maybe aren't the prototypical big guys like you see, but they can get the job done. I've had a lot of success with just those very guys.
Sean, you've had to obviously scheme over your career, especially at South Carolina, for some great teams, some really good teams along the way because of the depth that's in the SEC all the time. When you look at Penn State, what are some things that stick out to you right away?
Listen, everything. I mean, I don't see a weakness on this club we're facing. I mean, Penn State's very well coached. They're balanced offensively and defensively. I mean, they've got great secondary skill players. Their front line is fast and physical. There's not a whole lot of weaknesses in this team, and that's the reason why they're playing so well and why they're the champions of that conference and why they come in ranked as high as they do. Our job here is to come up there and play a very, very good football team and get after their butts as best as we can and give everything we got. But when you got to pinpoint a weakness and where you want to exploit this unit, it's very, very hard to find.
Obviously, in Atlanta, you know, obviously Georgia has a base there. Georgia Tech obviously does. And, of course, the Falcons after their Super Bowl run and the brand-new facility that they have. Does it take a lot to get the Georgia State message out there for you within the media, or are they pretty good about making sure everyone knows that Georgia State's playing football and they've got a chance to be pretty good?
Well, you know, with the acquisition of Turner Field, it helped us a lot in the media market.
Right.
I mean, it really did for several months. It was one of the top stories throughout this market right here. And Atlanta is a huge, huge market, and especially in the state of Georgia. So that put us to the forefront a little bit more so than those other programs that you mentioned. But at the end of the day, you know, after all that wears off, you've got to have your name out there for what you've done on the football field. That's where you gain your notoriety, so to speak. So we've got to play it at a better level, and we've got to experience, you know, success for really the guys, for everyone to jump on board and stand behind this football program.
Coach, one more question, I'll let you go, and I thank you for your time very much.
Yes.
For you, when you get up every day, what excites you about going into a Georgia State football office?
Well, let me tell you, just the opportunity to come here and lead a great group of young men. I mean, hard workers that want to be successful, that they come in here every day with a great attitude and a work ethic. And to tell you the truth, what really makes me smile is that everybody wants to work towards a common goal. We don't have a lot of selfish football players here. We don't have an abundance of talent, but we don't have selfish football players, and they're willing to do about everything we ask of them. And I know we're all working towards a common goal to make Florida State University proud, and our football program proud, and to build this thing up and see exactly where it can go in years to come.
Coach, I wish you nothing but the best as you make this journey, and appreciate the valuable time you gave us today.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Georgia State football, and look forward to being up there.
Sean Elliott, head football coach at Georgia State. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, our thanks to Sean Elliott, the head football coach at Georgia State, for joining us. Don't forget, we'll have James Franklin and Russ Rose tonight on the Penn State Coaches Show. Tonight from 6:05 to 7. And also our thanks to our outstanding play-by-play announcers and analysts who will be working games tomorrow night. Steve Williams joined us today to preview the Milton game at Danville that you'll hear on WMLP. Pat O'Brien joined us for the Sealands Grove Shikellamy game that you'll hear both on Eagle 107 with Pat and Ryan Brandt. And then on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Kevin Herr and Dick Hort. And Lewisburg, of course, will be at Jersey Shore, and we thank Greg Wetzel for the time he gave us today as well. So we've had a lot going on, and we've kept it moving as we go through the day. And I thought for Sean Elliott, this is the seventh year overall for the program. He is the third coach they've had. Bill Curry actually is the guy that started this program at Georgia State. I think a lot of people forget that. Probably don't know a lot about Georgia State. But they do have, by getting Turner Field is close enough to the campus. Georgia State is your basic commuter school. You find this all over the country with certain schools. South Florida, Central Florida, they're commuter schools. Cincinnati's a commuter school. In a lot of ways, Pitt's a commuter school. Temple certainly is. Commuter schools, here's a problem that commuter schools have. Here are the pluses. The pluses is it's a university you can get drive to. Still live at home, or at least live in the area, whatever. I mean, that's the great part of it. You get a great education at a great school. But at the same time, what does it do for campus continuity? Well, if you're just a base commuter school, it doesn't do a lot for campus continuity. What a football program can do is at least bring some campus continuity. And for Georgia State, they decided to go down the Division I football road. I think this is their fifth year of being FBS Division I. They were actually in a bowl game against San Jose State in the Cure Bowl 2 years ago in 2015. But by them purchasing Turner Field and converting it into Georgia State Stadium, which I thought was, for them, a brilliant move moving forward. And watching the tape, you can see they've done a great job with that facility. Great job with it. It looks really nice. You would not think of the Olympics or the Braves when you look at the facility now. It's close enough to their campus, and I know this because I've actually been to Georgia State's campus. Penn State in 2001 practiced in Georgia State's arena to get ready for that matchup with Temple at the Georgia Dome. So I've been there. It was a nice arena. In fact, at the time, Lefty Drizel was their basketball coach. They have been able to, they're in the Sun Belt. Their goal is to obviously go out and win the Sun Belt. And that's what it's all about. A game like Penn State, look, if they could somehow pull they would get national recognition by winning. You talk about something that thrusts you onto the map, it does that. In the end, the realistic goal for Georgia State is to become a perennial champion in the Sun Belt and be the best in that conference. Last year, they went to Wisconsin and this was not Sean Elliott's team at the time, but they went into Madison last year, and midway through the fourth quarter, they were winning. Finally, Wisconsin won the game 23-17. So it's not as if they're not capable of moments, and it's not as if they're capable of not going someplace and throwing a scare into somebody, because they are. They have enough athletes to do that. Sean talked about his wide receiver, Penny Hart. Penny Hart's a heck of a player. He's got five career 100-yard receiving games. You look at it on tape, he's got speed. You can tell he works to get himself open. Chris Smith on the other side does the same thing. They've got some guys that can play. Now, I brought up the question of the offensive line, and I did so for a reason. One of the areas that you'll find with a program trying to get started, and in particular with a lower-level FBS program, you struggle to get offensive linemen. You don't have a depth of offensive linemen. And the Wisconsin game last year was typical of what you'll see in a situation like this. Wisconsin, as we all know, is a very physical football team, game in and game out. They want to beat you up front. And that's where a program like Georgia State is going to struggle this year and for a couple of years until he gets linemen into the, a depth of linemen into the program to make a difference. Because you can wear those teams down in the trenches because they aren't good enough in the trenches. And that's just the nature of recruiting. You just have to get more players in there. You're not going to get the 4- and 5-star guy. You're not. But if you can suddenly get yourself a long list of very good 3-star guys that can play in the trenches for you, that's important. And I think another reason you see him going to the 3-4, it's a defense that he likes, but what does it take off the field? It takes a lineman off the field and replaces it with a more athletic player and a linebacker. Again, that's him being smart of having a defense that, yeah, he feels is good against the run, but it puts another guy on the field that can run in a linebacker as opposed to a trench guy that can be worn down. So that's what they're trying to build down there. And a game like this for Georgia State, they're going to get a check out of this. Now, if they win the game, they get incredible publicity across the board. Knowing Penn State's the prohibitive favorite, what do they get out of it? Well, for all the Georgia State players, they get to play a game in Beaver Stadium before a huge crowd. That will be a great thrill for them. They will also, as an athletic department, get an infusion of cash out of this, which also is going to help them. Now, if they win the game, it's a bonus. I mean, I always tell the story years ago when Penn State played a basketball game at Kentucky. It was supposed to be a doubleheader at Rupp Arena. Penn State was supposed to play Kentucky, and Arizona was supposed to play Florida. That's what it was supposed to be, and then Arizona backed out, and Florida said they backed out, but Kentucky said, look, we'll still play the game as a regular season game. Per usual, it would just be the one game, Penn State and Kentucky, and it was going to be the opening game of the 25th season of Rupp Arena. And Penn State got a guarantee of $100,000, which back in 2000-2001 was pretty significant guaranteed basketball coin. Penn State got the $100,000 check and won the game. And in the end, both teams advanced to the Sweet 16, Kentucky and Penn State. They both got to the Sweet 16, which then brings up my previous Georgia State story of Penn State practicing there before they played Temple in the Georgia Dome. So that's what you looked at now. It's a little bit different when you're talking about a Big Ten Penn State basketball team playing at an SEC power like Kentucky, but at least you're going in with some Big Ten talent like Joe Crispin, John Crispin, Jazzy Kleinherd, Tyler Smith, people like that along the way to play. Brandon Watkins. And you're walking in, and of course, Titus Ivory. Titus Ivory is fine. A basketball talent at both ends of the floor as you're going to find at this level. And, you know, not a pro, but just a really good college basketball player. That's what Titus Ivory was. And they went into Kentucky and they won the game. Now, Georgia State's in a little different realm here, but don't discount for their athletic department what the check means. And don't discount the excitement level of their players that they get to play in Beaver Stadium. And they get to play one of the top five teams in the country. for Penn State. They're going to take it. They go out there, and I can tell you right now, practice-wise, they absolutely have taken this seriously. That's why when James Franklin discusses approach, it's not weeks like Pitt, Ohio State, and Michigan you talk about. Approach, when you make it the same for every week, it does everything it can to lessen, quote, letdowns when you play Georgia State. Very important. Russ Rose, James Franklin tonight, Penn State Coaches Show from 6:05 to 7 that you'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history. Excuse me. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. It's a story right out of Hollywood. The Los Angeles Kings are hosting open tryouts on September 27th because they're trying to find an emergency goalie. The NHL requires each home team to have an emergency goalie in the stands for every game. And we thought this would be a good opportunity to see who in our area is best qualified for the job, said Luc Robitaille, the Kings president. It'll be interesting, that's for sure. The event will take place at the team's training facility. The team promises a member of the Kings hockey operation department will be on hand to evaluate. So now they're pulling people out of the streets. Last season, two teams, the Carolina Hurricanes and the Chicago Blackhawks, found themselves signing emergency backup goalies. The Hurricanes used their 37-year-old equipment manager, Jorge Alves, and the team let Alves make his professional debut with 8 seconds to go in the third period, trailing by 2 goals. This is your chance, Sean.
I'd take a size 14. I don't know if they'll be able to find a skate that big.
No. They'll find one for you. You can play. They'll find you.
Ugh.
It'd be a great moment for the suit. Get him out there. Tonight, it'll be a couple games. Houston will be at Cincinnati. That game is coming up tonight at Cincinnati. That is the Thursday night game of the week. And Boise State, after that narrow loss in triple overtime, 44-41 to Washington. They're at home tonight on the blue turf to take on New Mexico. That is the ESPN game tonight. Major League Baseball. And by the way, tonight's game, 8:25, is on NBC. That is on NFL Network tonight. That is the NFL Network game tonight. Major League Baseball. Red Sox, of course, are playing today against Oakland in the third game, the rubber game of the three-game set. And the Red Sox in the bottom of the eighth inning lead the A's 6-2. Other games in the majors this afternoon. The Cardinals lead the Reds 5-2. That game is in the top half of the ninth inning. Top of the ninth, the White Sox lead at Detroit 17-5. Oh, and by the way, the White Sox have the bases loaded. Colorado and Arizona. D-backs have jumped out to a 5-0 lead on the Rockies in the bottom of the third at Chase Field. Cardinals and Reds just won finals, and St. Louis won it 5-2. And the Phillies play the Marlins tonight at 7:05, 6:30 the airtime. Well, I guess we'll join that after the talk show tonight, right?
Yes.
Yeah, as soon as the talk show's over, we'll join Scott Fransky in L.A. for that one. Odell Beckham did practice, as he's dealing with a 6-to-8-week injury. That's just what Eli wanted to hear. Limited capacity. 6-to-8-week injury timeline for his ankle that already cost him the opener with the Cowboys. Been 24 days. Tough preseason incident. Bent his left leg inwards against the Browns. says he wasn't close to playing on Sunday night. Well, the Giants didn't miss him. Wow. So the rehab process has been extensive for him. It is obvious that a lot funnels off of him to make things happen. Now, have you seen the show Last Chance U?
I have not watched that show, no.
I have not either, but a pair of Last Chance U brothers in the Netflix series have been charged in connection with a fatal stabbing. One of them played against Penn State. Cammy and Patrick, who played against Penn State at Indiana, and Isaiah Wright are among four men charged in connection with the death of Caleb Radford on July 25th. Radford was just 18 years old. He was found stabbed multiple times on a street in Louisville, Tennessee. On August 3rd, Alcoa, Tennessee police announced the arrest of two suspects, Keyshawn Hopewell, 21, and Ida Green, who is 28. Wright, 20, was arrested Wednesday by Harriman, Tennessee police. Indiana University police arrested Patrick, who's 22, yesterday in Bloomington. Wright is being held at the Blount County Justice Center in Maryville, Tennessee. IU police arrested Patrick on Wednesday. He's being held at the Monroe County Correctional Facility in Bloomington. There is no information yet on extradition and when it might happen. Patrick played wideout running back in Indiana, dealt with multiple injuries. He did play against Penn State a couple of years ago out there. The day that Bill Belton ran for 92 yards, the longest run for a touchdown in Penn State history, Patrick played that game. School suspended him Wednesday following his arrest. The one-time Tennessee recruit spent 2 years at Eastern Mississippi Community College before joining Indiana. Wright, a running back, earned a scholarship from Auburn, but then went to East Mississippi as well, site of Last Chance U. He was featured in the second edition of the series, which took place during the 2016 season. Wright and Patrick both talked about the challenges they faced as children in foster care, as their mother had left them and their father was in prison. After a promising start to 16, Wright sustained an injury and often clashed with head coach Buddy Stevens. He ended up enrolling at Division II West Georgia, but left the school before the 2017 season. So that's what happened with Last Chance U, as they've been charged in this stabbing death in Tennessee. And tonight the Bengals will take on the Texans. Wide receiver John Ross, dynamic out of the University of Washington, likely to make his debut tonight. This is the guy that ran the 4.2240 at the combine, but he missed the opener against the Ravens after spraining his knee in the preseason finale on the 31st. Marvin Lewis indicates he'll probably play tonight. That is a game, it's only the second game of the season, but why do you sense that both Cincinnati and Houston need to win this game tonight? There's only going to be one that's going to get there and be 1-1, but don't you feel like they both need it?
It kind of makes Marvin Lewis is going to be on the hot seat, and it makes you wonder if the Bengals continue a spiral, when will they finally just say, hey, let's get A.J. McCarron in there. You used a high draft pick on him. Let's give him a test spin out there and see what he can do.
And then, for Bill O'Brien, it's going to be Deshaun Watson. That's his ninth starting quarterback.
I feel bad for Bill, and I'm thinking, okay, if you would have made this switch, why could have you, if you wanted Deshaun out there this early, why couldn't you just started him last week and just give him the keys right away?
Well, I'm not at practice every day. Now, when I was out there every day at practice when Bill coached here, I could give you answers as to, why he was doing this, that, and the other thing.
And as to last week's performance, I was floored. I did not see Jacksonville with such a huge win over Houston. And I would not be surprised. And we had John McClain on the show a few weeks back. He has pretty much gone out on social media and said he would not be surprised if they go 0-3, 0-4, because Houston has the Patriots coming up soon, too.
They do. And that's why I just feel tonight is a big game for them. They've been able to make the playoffs with substandard NFL-level quarterbacks, which is amazing to me. I don't know about you. You think about it. They've had eight starting quarterbacks.
All that turnover, all that turnover at Cube. You think, you know, for an you'd think a team would be, you know, way below 500 and out of contention by like week five.
Look, it's not as if, I mean, he can't spot what's going on. I mean, when he was here at Penn State, you know, he had three quarterbacks, Paul Jones, Rob Bolden, and Matt McGloin during the spring. It didn't take him long to say, Matt McGloin's my guy. And I mean, we all knew standing there, I mean, looking at that, that's exactly who should be starting. But he made the decision right away, was definitive about it, and then he worked everything around him. And, you know, McGloin had a really, really good senior season. And Penn State won eight games, including eight of their last 10. So, you know, I mean, you look at what he's been able to do. I don't blame him for going with Watson now. Look, you try to somehow take a rookie, if you can, at that position. And I know they throw them out there so quickly these days because there's a lot of capital that you spend on getting a quarterback in the draft like that. So you want is an instant return as a fan. But you know, I understood what he was going to go with, the guy that's been in his system that knows it, that he knows a little bit better. Okay. So, but I don't think in this case Bill has any choice. He's got to go out, and Billy's got to start Watson. You just have to. Now on the other side, Andy Dalton looked like a shell of himself last week. What the heck was that performance? Oh, the suit sitting in the office pumping his fist right now. I know he is.
Oh, I'll admit I kind of got a chuckle out of it too. But yeah, how about Terrell Suggs? Yeah, a little drink of the fountain of youth.
Yeah. Now, this is 1 week, but let's be honest about it. In 1 week, there was nothing out of last week where you sit back and say, you know, I think they can build upon that. Now, let's take Cleveland, for example. Cleveland, always the laughing stock of the league and so forth. Yet, I after watching the Browns and Steelers game, Cleveland looked better than I thought they would.
Kizer passed for 222. He looked really good at times. Absolutely, despite getting sacked quite a bit. He still put up really good numbers. Very, very respectable.
You kind of felt like they were at least headed in some direction that
sure.
was not down.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're not hitting the accelerator and speeding to the top, but you felt like there was forward movement with the vehicle.
Well, I'll give Hugh Jackson credit. I mean, he just decided right out of the gate, all right, I'm going with Kizer. And, you know, Hugh can do some great things, I think, with his new quarterback.
But at least you felt like the Cleveland vehicle had at least tapped on the accelerator a bit, moved the vehicle forward a little bit, and there's something going in that direction.
But yeah, this definitely is a week by week. It is a week by week deal right. in the NFL now. So yeah, but it makes you wonder though, as we further go down the, you know, get to the quarter pole and maybe halfway through, you know, will Cleveland have a chance to leapfrog past Cincinnati in the division?
Which then brings me to Houston and Cincinnati. They both looked like they put the car into R last week. I mean, Jacksonville and Baltimore were the two teams that won the games last week. I mean, Jacksonville blew Houston out at home. Baltimore blew Cincinnati out at home. I mean, if you're in those two fan bases, week one had to dramatically confuse you. Dramatically had to confuse you. No getting around it. That's why tonight, who knows what quality you'll see tonight, but you know, I mean, the Thursday night games are not of great quality, but when there's $650 million on the table for a few games between CBS and NBC, and tonight is obviously on NFL Network, but that tells you the Thursday night game is not going anywhere.
There's such a great excitement and buzz when it comes to opening weekend in the National Football League. But yeah, when it comes to the preseason, you have all the starters barely playing.
Yeah.
You know, barely playing a half and hardly, you know, one or two, you know, series for the rest of the games. And I think that's now, you know, that trickles down to week one now in terms of quality of play, sloppy play, you know, timing and penalties and offside. So I would say for sure, Steve, you know, going into week two, I would think the quality would go up for sure with all the games. But
you would think, except only 4 days.
Oh, see, talking about tonight's game, yeah.
I mean, tonight's game, there's only 4 days, so there was not a lot of time to correct whatever issues that you have. So it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out tonight, because one of these teams is going to walk out of their 0-2 tonight and have a fan base that is not going to allow the current front office and coaching staff to circle the wagons.
And with one of those teams only getting one practice, and then the next day, of course, then they got to travel.
Right.
Not a lot of time.
So, that's right. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
We want a seat up in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia is having their annual new Kia inventory adjustment sale. Every brand new Kia's price will be adjusted to make room for the 18. Sunbury Motors Kia has 12 2017 Kia Souls starting at $15,996. That's $3,204 off the iconic Kia Soul. Sunbury Motors Kia has the deepest discount on their most popular Kia Sorento this month only. Take $5,221 off all 2017 Sorentos. Hurry in. There's only 10 left starting at $24,989. There's $4,001 off 2017 Kia Optima. Optimus start at just $19,709. Remember, all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. There's brand-new Kia Rios under $14,000. SMC is very motivated to sell every 2017 Kia in stock at the lowest prices of the year. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Tax and tax extra. Offers expire 9/17. Restrictions apply. Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer, go to Kia.com.
Penn State football is on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sorley back. Looks right. Now fires that way. Gesicki's got it. Touchdown, Penn State.
Penn State football is sponsored by Sealers Grove Ford, Click Associates, Murray Motors Chevrolet, Mifflinburg Auto Sales, Purdy Insurance Agency, Sunbury Motor Company, and W&L Subaru. Prime time in Beaver Stadium Saturday night as the Nittany Lions take on Georgia State. Kickoff set for 7:30. We're on beginning at 6 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You know, I think a lot of people forget that in the era of satellite camps, Penn State went down and did satellite camps at Georgia State. And those satellite camps at Georgia State opened the door in recruiting in a couple of areas. So there is a definite connection there when it comes to Georgia State and Penn State. So don't forget about the satellite camp part of it. I mean, it was not exactly wasted trips for Penn State there at all. So Georgia State's coming here. It is easy to complain about the game. But you know what? You got to play it. And it comes down to, in scheduling, 9 conference games. You need 7 games to make sure your budget is on track in the athletic department. It's all part of the formula to keep you on track financially in the athletic department to having 7 home games. So you go out and you spend money on guarantees to 2 programs to bring them in. I know people are saying, play more Power 5 teams. Not realistic. Idealistically, great. And anybody who says they should play another Power 5 team, idealistically, that's great. A lot of people would love to see another Power 5 team. Realistically, it can't happen because in order to play another Power 5 team, you have to play them home and away, which means you then yourself only get a guarantee and do not get the full financial effect of a home game like you're going to get on Saturday night. It is part of the financial formula that, for example, helps out women's volleyball, softball, baseball, men's gymnastics, women's gymnastics, men's volleyball, wrestling, men's and women's soccer, Field Hockey helps all those programs out. It's all part of the formula between TV, radio, corporate partners, ticket sales, things like that, that all come into play as to the formula that's needed to put 31 sports out there. Penn State is not a program like Northwestern that has 19 sports. Penn State has 31. They're not a program like Texas that has 14. They have 31. So that seventh home game is really important to the financial formula for Penn State. So Akron and Georgia State get guarantees, which is good for their programs. And at the same time, for Penn State, in the overall scope, the big picture, that's what they need to do with seven home games, which means you can't put yourself into another home-and-home situation. That's why the second game of the season becomes important as to how you schedule that, and it's still going to be Pitt next year and the year after. Then it's Virginia Tech, then it's Auburn. But that's the way it is. And you also have nine conference games now. So you're always going to have Ohio State. You're always going to have Michigan. You're always going to have Michigan State. And in this particular year, you add in Nebraska, you add in Iowa, you add in a trip to Northwestern. You're still going to play Indiana. It doesn't sound like a clear highway. Sounds to me like you got to go through some traffic to get where you want to go. So they still have a lot of meat on this schedule, a ton of it still in front of them after this week. Now, from a football point of view, they play the game with Akron without a preseason scrimmage or game. It gets you into the season. Then you play the game with Pitt last week. You know, obviously a lot more meat in the bone right there. Kind of get a feel about where you are. Then you play this game right before you start your conference season. So with nine conference games, you don't have that flexibility. Now, Pitt only has eight conference games. That's why they can play Oklahoma State this week. That's an interesting game, by the way, at Heinz Field, no doubt. But the games that they ended up buying were Youngstown State and Rice. Because they only have eight conference games. It's just part of the business of athletics, and there's so many people that love so many sports here. Remember, all of them do bring in some money, but the balance sheet doesn't equal out. So you need games like this week to help balance everyone's sheet across the board.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.